revolution, real revolution, real social cultural upheaval through the gospel? Are you serious? You better believe I'm serious. So what's it going to take?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, is my heart burning today, and I tell you, the things that we're going to talk about are of tremendous importance, so please be listening carefully. If you'd like to weigh in, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I posted on my Facebook page, yesterday or the day before, a famous quote from Martin Niemöller, Christian leader in Nazi Germany. He said, in Germany, they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant, because I wasn't a Catholic. And then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up for me. We wait, and we wait, and we wait. And we talk about change. It's just like we talk about other things, diet, exercise, getting out of debt, praying more, whatever. And it's always going to happen. It's always going to happen. At a certain point, we're going to get to that breaking point. At a certain point, we're going to make that determination. At a certain point, something's going to happen. Something's going to move us. And we're going to change. But truth be told, we live our whole lives like that and never change. Some of us, when we get in our 20s, you know, out of our teen years, when we get married, when we have kids, or once we hit 30, or once the kids are older, and it's always tomorrow, and then we're too old. You know, when we're young, the enemy's right there in our ears speaking to us, that voice saying you're too young, you can't do anything, and then you get established in life in middle age, and then when you're older, well, now you're too old. There's always a reason. There's always an excuse. It struck me one time. I don't know, maybe I was having a candy bar or something like that. And I thought to myself, you know, I am really going to eat in a more disciplined way tomorrow. It struck me that many of our promises about obedience tomorrow are just excuses for our disobedience today. You say, what's that got to do with revolution? Again, I'm not talking about taking up arms. God forbid, I'm not armed myself. I'm not talking about some violent uprising. I'm not talking about anger. I'm not talking about intimidation. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I'm not talking about a primarily political movement. I'm talking about spiritual revolution. I'm talking about when we finally realize that the time for playing games has passed, when we finally realize that it's time to give our lives for the cause. And again, I don't mean killing someone or getting ourselves killed. God forbid. Well, if we're martyred for the gospel. It happens around the world. It happens to friends and colleagues. And in fact, I'll tell you about that in a moment. But I'm talking about when we finally say, oh, okay, we've been hearing, well, when this happens, then I'll stim. Well, when this happens, then I'll stim. Well, when this happens, then I'll stim. Well, here it is. Here it is. I just got a note sent to me via Twitter yesterday about Walmart. And Walmart has on its website basically gay porn movies. Well, let's just say this, from the titles and the fact that they weren't rated and the subject matter being about homosexual men or lesbian women, and some of them even having sexual innuendos, they're not the kind of movies you're going to sit and watch with your family. Walmart. That's just one example out of thousands we could give. Some have been planning to get involved in the pro-life movement. And 55 million babies have been slaughtered in the meantime while we debate jumping in. Time to jump in. Time to jump in. That being said, friends, I have a really important announcement to make to my radio listeners. It's really important. I'm about to make it. When we come back, it will affect many of you directly. So please be listening when we come back.
We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As I am speaking to you on radio now, we are recording this on video as well, and we will post this on YouTube later today. Michael Brown here. Welcome back to The Line of Fire, which by God's grace seeks to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call to get in the conversation. We are listener-sponsored. We have always been listener-sponsored. And I have been so burdened, so committed to being on the radio, that when there was no listener sponsorship, we figured out a way to get on the radio. We figured out a way in speaking and ministering and doing other things and traveling to do our very best to bring in funds to pay for radio bills when our listeners were enjoying the show and being blessed by the show and telling us what the show meant to them, but still not supporting the show in adequate numbers in different parts of the country. Now, I want to make clear, this radio show continues by God's grace, and we are on 300-something stations across the nation. And later in the broadcast, I want to talk to you about divine pruning. What happens with divine pruning, how you get cut back in certain ways, and it's painful, but then you grow more and more and more through that. Since I was saved and first started preaching in 1973 at the age of 18, I was burdened to bring a wake-up call to the church and for my own life to be stirred, to stir others, and just for God's people to make a difference. My heart burned for that for many, many, many years. And beginning in the 1990s, the first journal entry I found on this was coming back from preaching at Times Square Church for Pastor David Wilkerson in around 1993. It was 93, where I journaled. I was listening to the radio, and the thought struck me, and I journaled it. That God wanted me to be a voice on national radio and TV as well, but radio was the thing that had struck me in particular. And then over the years, this burden would increase. I've got entries April of 1997, August of 1997, June of 1999, October 1999, and on and on it goes. I raised this question. I journaled it as a prayer request. February 9th of 2000, I asked this, Father, something within me is stirring. Is it really possible to shake a nation? Will you really give me a national voice? Will a burning pen ignite the masses? Am I dreaming or is it time? Something is going on. We were in the midst at that time of the Brownsville Revival. We were seeing literally millions of people that were touched. Our ministry school was literally exploding at the seams with over 1,100 full-time students. And we were sending people out to the nations as we continued to do. In fact, this is the anniversary. As I was leaving the house today, Nancy reminded me that this is the anniversary where one of our grads was martyred ministering in a Muslim country 2 years ago. We've never been able to say more about it. Because of the sensitive nature of it, because we still have folks ministering in that nation. But this is the type of commitment, following Jesus and loving Jesus and making him known, and therefore being a threat to radical Islam, paid with his blood for his commitment to the Lord. That's the quality of the people the Lord's allowed us to pour into and work with. 6 years ago, doors opened up. In fact, I was asked specifically, would I go on talk radio? I was doing an interview about 6.5 years ago. And during this interview, I journaled it that the fellow interviewing me was going to tell me I needed to be on the radio. And sure enough, he said, Dr. Brown, we've got to get you on the radio. You need to be on the radio. And sure enough, we started on Saturday. We started once a week. And then we went on. What was the exact date we started? March 1st, 2008, the very first Saturday show we did. And then June 30th, 2008. So we're going on 6 years of daily talk radio. We started Monday to Friday. And then 3 years ago, we did a massive national expansion. My heart is beat for this, friends. Every single day, my schedule, my life is revolved around being on radio to speak to you, to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church so often in compromise. And constantly, we hear appreciation from other leaders on a daily basis, on a regular basis. They're reading the articles. They watch something we did on TV, and they're listening to radio. They're listening online. They're listening to the podcast. We're constantly flooded with words of encouragement, for which I am tremendously grateful. And then we get our share of hate mail. let's see, gay activist website yesterday branded me the world's most inappropriately self-aggrandizing wingnut. Someone then added in, they forgot self-loathing, deceitful closet fag in their description of you. And then also says, I prayed, as you requested on your trip to Peru, for a big fiery plane crash. Are you there, God? In other words, praying for the plane to crash. Note I saw tweeted to me this morning, what an evil, horrible little being you are. Shameful. That's for going to Peru and helping the nation of Peru stand up for what is right with marriage and family. That's fine. Jesus said we'd be spoken against, we'd be opposed, we'd be lied about for his name's sake. That's fine. God's called me to do that. In fact, the more the attack comes, if it's for righteousness, the more energized I am to love those who oppose me and to reach out with the gospel and to stand for what's right. And that's why we're on the radio. But I've got to be totally straight with you. In several major cities where we've gone on, where we expanded on 3 years ago, you, our dear listeners, have not stepped forward to adequately say, we believe in your broadcast and we want it on the air. So what did we do? I'd take money. I'm being totally honest with you, friends. I'd take money that was supposed to go towards the reprint of a book, and I say, we got to put it towards a radio bill. I would defer money I was supposed to get personally for salary. So here, just for right now, let's put it towards the radio bill. And I'm not talking, we're not talking big salaries or anything like that. Look, we will decide, you know, I don't handle the finances in our ministry. Others handle that, make those decisions. But can we get a new laptop? Well, we got to wait. We got to wait 3 months to get it for a staff member. That's how tight things are. Why? Because we're committed to being on the radio and ministering to you. In fact, we've accumulated a substantial weight of debt to say we are going to be on the radio ministering to you. That's how committed we are to do this. However, right now, we have no choice. We are doing a radical pruning. We have to do it. Oh, yeah, we're still on hundreds of stations by God's grace. But there are a number of stations. You're listening to me right now, where as of March 31st, after that, for the moment, we will not be coming your way on the radio. You'll still be able to listen online. In fact, you can get an app and listen right on your cell phone. You don't have to miss a split second. You can still subscribe by podcast. But there are some stations where we have to cut back. We're on it for an hour. We have to cut back to a half hour. Or we have to go off entirely for now. Listen, we believe it's the will of God for us to blanket America with this radio show. This has nothing to do with personal ambition or personal goals. It has to do with a divine calling. But we have said for years, we are listener-sponsored. We don't use cheap gimmicks. Every week we try to think what resource offer will be a blessing to you. How can we get it to you in a fashion that's discounted or just to help in whatever way we can? God knows how we operate. Listen, you find a ministry our size doing what we're doing and find another ministry that perhaps salaries and everything, it's maybe 20% of our entire budget. It's mind-boggling how much goes right out to make a difference. But I just need to let you know that we will be going off a number of stations that you're listening to me on right now, the end of the month, right before we go off, we'll announce it. But on Thursday, today is Tuesday, on Thursday, I'm sending out an e-blast, and that will detail each station. We'll let you know exactly which stations will be going off. We'll tell you how you can continue to listen online. You say, man, you're not going off my city. I want to do something about it. If that's you and you have the funds to do it, fine. We are listener sponsored. We've said it. We do not have the deep pockets to be able to finance this on our own. I wish we did. It would be a privilege if I was independently wealthy to pay to be on the radio. But we are listener sponsored, and these fine, fine stations only run with the support of the listening community. Every station we're on is thrilled to have us on. Every station we're on wants us to stay on. They get the great reports as well. But many listening have not stepped forward. Now, if you say, is it too late for me to do something about it? It may not, if enough of you step forward. But my main reason for sharing this is not some last-minute fundraising appeal. If God speaks to you, fine. And by God's grace, we will be back on when there's adequate support from your area saying, Mike, you've got to be on the air there. We missed your voice. We need your voice on the radio, and not just through the internet and through our cell phones, but we need your voice on our radio station. When the listener support is there, you better believe we'll be back. And by God's grace, we expect to be touching more than ever. Listen, 6 months ago, our average reach on Facebook was about 40,000 people. Now we've reached as many in a week as 2.2 million people. On every front, we're seeing massive expansion. So that means time to prune and cut back, to stand with us, to become a torchbearer, to become a monthly supporter. Call us now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate to become a monthly supporter. Just click on that option. We're sending out this week a signed copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, to all those standing with us. Friends, time for pruning so that we can bear greater fruit in the coming years.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, we've always told you the truth straight up. We've always told you the truth straight up, just as I did in the last segment, 866-34-TRUTH. Again, if you do not get my e-blasts, please just go to my website now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the email icon. You see it on the right part of the screen. To sign up for the email, the e-blast, it'll just take you a couple of seconds to do that. Just put down your name and your email address, and this way you can be on the cutting edge of what we're doing, be in touch with us as we're addressing key issues in the nation and around the world. As we have special free downloads, for example, all this month you can download for free, absolutely free, no strings attached, my 16-lecture series on revival. It's when God began to stir my heart about this subject roughly 25 years ago, when I began to teach on it in detail and with passion, and how America had been transformed by revival in the past when we had been in deep, dark, moral straits, how it was revival in the church that brought about transformation. Nothing less than that will do today. And it is revival among us, God's people waking up, God's people getting stirred, God's people saying enough is enough, God's people knowing that there must be more. God's people knowing that if Jesus has really risen from the dead and sent the Spirit, then life shouldn't be the way it is in our nation and in our personal lives. As that happens, we begin to seek Him earnestly, and that can be the spark in our own hearts and lives as God draws us to Himself that then produces a ripple effect across the culture. You say it's impossible. In the natural, it is. That's why we need visitation. That's why we need revival. That's why we need an outpouring. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I'm on the radio, friends, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. Look, I travel overseas, and I travel with radio equipment. I travel overseas with radio equipment, and I'll do my broadcast from India from 12:30 to 2:30 in the morning, or from Hong Kong from 3 to 5 in the morning, and that's in the midst of a busy ministry schedule, ministering day and night. But it's my joy. I look forward to it. It's not a noose around my neck. It's a joy to do it. It's a calling. And I know that we're making a difference in your lives. And when I meet so many of you for the first time and you're grinning from ear to ear, it's like we're meeting old friends. We just need more support from more listeners to do what we are doing. And let me tell you again, we stretched every way we know how to stretch. We went for it every way we know how to go for it to sustain what we're doing in some of the major cities across America. But without your support, without your response, we've been unable to do that. I don't blame anybody. I simply say, okay, it's not the right time then. If people haven't stepped forward, or maybe someone's been waiting to step forward and this is your time to sponsor the broadcast in your city. If you want to do that, again, just contact us through the website, and we'll be glad to help you however we can to help us minister to more people. But we sought the Lord earnestly. We took 3 weeks. Staff prayed, fasted, sought the Lord. I sought to take extra time to go after God in a very specific way. And after 3 weeks, the last day of that was a day that we met with radio leaders that we work with, and the determination was made, we have to prune back. I take that as from the Lord. I embrace it as much as it's painful. I embrace it. Now, I want to say again, you don't have to miss a second of the broadcast. You can listen online. You can listen on your cell phone in your car. But I know that many just like to flip the radio on, and that's why we pay to be on the air, as you do flip the radio on. So, again, if you just missed the announcement, as of March 31st, we'll be cutting back from a number of our stations with the goal of pruning back, waiting for further listener support in response to be on the air in certain cities. And when the support matches the bill, then, by God's grace, we'll be back on, and hopefully bigger than ever in terms of touching more and more and more people. Here's what Scripture says in John, the 15th chapter. Jesus says this in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it will be even more fruitful. And friends, that's been us. By God's grace, we've been bearing more fruit than ever. I'm just looking at more tweets that have come in as a result of me being in. Here's a quote, gay Christian from Peru. We will show you that your homophobic words won't have impact in Peru. You should be ashamed of yourself. You come here to a country that doesn't want to because equality is winning at your own country. Learn the lesson. You'll see the equality will win at the end, that our countries won't legislate based on religion but on human rights. And I wrote back to this individual, to this woman who identifies as a gay Christian. I said it was love that brought me down there. And in point of fact, the ultimate human rights are the rights given by God. And that's what we stand for. In fact, let me give you an invitation. Let me give you an invitation. And I'm being real personal up front. Honest with you today, friends. Let me give you an invitation. We brought a couple of cases of a queer thing happened to America down to Peru at our own expense. We had to cover a good amount of our travel expense to get down there. So we still need your help with a trip that I took last week because it was so urgent to be there, and getting copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to top congressional leaders and to university chancellors. Stand with us if you can. Put aside just $1 a day, $30 a month. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. I want to send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America as our gift to you. I was just talking to a colleague of a top Christian leader about how urgent it is that people are rightly educated about these issues and understand what we're dealing with and understand the right way and the wrong way to approach them. In the name of the Lord. So you're standing with us and helping us do that. If you become a torchbearer, we send you a new message, an audio message every month that we carefully select to minister to you. We also give you a 15% discount in our online bookstore and free access to our online classes. You can watch my entire class that I taught on revival, praying together with students from Fire School of Ministry. You can watch my class on Jewish roots and Jewish history in the church. You can watch my class on holiness and other audio classes you can listen to all for free as you become a torchbearer. So call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate to become a monthly supporter. I've got a whole bunch more that I want to talk to you about in terms of being revolutionaries, in terms of what it's going to take for us to rise up in Jesus, not to take over and force our views on people, but to see radical change come through the gospel. Oh, also, our friend Randy. Gentlemen, you know who you are. We took a picture together when I was in American Bible Society. And I shared about your story, Gray Struggler finds assurance in the Lord. Please go on Facebook and respond to a note from Matt. We want to include your story in a book I'm writing, but we need to hear from you to do it, buddy. So please.
Amen.
your Facebook account. Respond to Matt's note.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I encourage you to check out an article I wrote last night, posted this morning, called A Deadly Anti-Israel Theological Error. You can read it by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. Begins by saying the idea that God has finished with the Jewish people as a nation and that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan is not only a serious theological error, it is a deadly one as well. It was this false theology that helped fuel the fires of Jew hatred in one of the early church's most respected leaders, John Chrysostom, 347 to 407, who once said, God hates the Jews, and on Judgment Day will say to those who sympathize with them, depart from me if you have had intercourse with my murderers. Flee then from their assemblies, fly from their houses, and hold their synagogue in hatred and aversion. Without this erroneous theology, friends, the Crusades would never have taken place 700 years later. Be sure to read the article. You will want to share it with your friends. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm holding in my hand my book, Revolution, that came out September 2nd of 2000. The day it came out, we gave away more than 70,000 copies at a massive rally of young people in D.C. Gave away more than 70,000 copies. In the preface to that book, I wrote this. Sometime in the first half of 1999, something snapped. Perhaps it was the Columbine killings. Perhaps it was the accumulated frustration mounting from years of political corruption and moral decline in America. Perhaps it was the realization that the American church had gone as far as it could with its present mindset and methods. Whatever the exact factors were, I'm sure of this. Believers across the land began to say, enough is enough. We need a revolution. This book, written almost entirely during an intense six-week period, is a clear and definite call to get the revolution underway. Friends, this was back in 1999, end of 99, beginning of 2000, that I wrote these words. I make clear, language like this can easily be misunderstood, so let me make some things perfectly clear. This book is not a call to the violent overthrow of the government, nor is it a call to take up arms, use intimidation tactics against those with whom we differ. It is not a call to political activism in and of itself. It is a call to something far more extreme, a call to live out the gospel with all its radical claims, a call for the people of God to impact this generation with the prophetic message of repentance, a call to spark the most sweeping counterculture movement in our nation's history, a call to take back the moral ground that has been stolen from under our feet, a call to follow Jesus by life or by death. In that sense, it is a call to start a revolution now. That was written late 99, early 2000. Would you say the words are even more relevant today? Would you say that American morality has declined even more radically today? Would you say that, the state of the church has declined in many ways that more? Hey, when I wrote those words 14 years ago, we didn't have some of our prominent leaders basically saying there is no hell and everybody will eventually get in. We didn't have some of our prominent leaders, I'm talking about people like Jim Wallis and Rob Bell, saying that we should redefine marriage or relook at the issue or even sanction two men or two women being married. We didn't have the level of compromise that we have in the church today. We need a gospel-based revolution like never before. But you know who it starts with? You, me, in our individual lives, determining if the Bible is really true and Jesus is truly Lord, we must live differently. Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I made a very, very important announcement earlier. If you missed it, we'll be posting it on YouTube later today. So to watch it, just go to Ask Dr. Brown. We video recorded it as I was doing it. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Video. That'll be later today, a few hours from now. We should have that up. Let me go to the phones first. Randy from Edgewater, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Randy. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey! How are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks. How about you?
Oh, you know, good days and bad days.
Yeah, so I know you've been listening for quite some time. I know which Randy this is. To what do I owe the privilege of the phone call today?
Well, I just heard my name mentioned like a little while ago, and I thought I heard you say, hey, Randy, if you're listening, get in touch with us or something like that. So here I am.
All right, awesome. Yeah, well, you know, here's the deal. You know how touched our listeners were when they heard your story and just how God's love has been real to you in the midst of the struggles that you've gone through, and how many people were touched when I wrote about it in an article, and you even posted on Facebook how blessed you were by that. Well, I included that in the book I'm writing, just mentioning your first name, of course, Randy. I included that in the book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And the publisher said, great, glad to have it in. In fact, they love the story. They said, but with anything where you had to quote somebody's story, even without giving the full name, they just said, okay, we just need the official permission to do it. So Matt, our radio producer, actually was trying to contact you via Facebook just to say, I know you're happy to do it, but we just needed the official yes. So thanks for calling and getting us your contact info privately. So we'll shoot you a note, and then you will get a free signed copy of the book when it comes out as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, so if you could, the publisher has been on me for some time, and, you know, my schedule is kind of busy flying around a lot, so we're just trying to catch up on it. So you'll get an email from us today, and if you just shoot back the official yes, then we'll get you the book a couple months from now when it comes out, all right?
Okay, great. Right now I'm in the middle of your book, Authentic Fire.
All right, so Randy, maybe you could just... do you mind, without going into details, just giving perspective of someone that grew up in the shoes you grew up with, how you felt about how God looked at you? Also, do you have any opinion about the Boy Scouts of America changing their policies recently in terms of homosexuality? Just wondering if you have any opinion on that. And then the larger question, how it felt growing up and struggling with certain personal issues, how that made you feel before God. But first, the Boy Scouts question.
Well, the Boy Scout question is, that's, you know, I was molested many times when I was in the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. So I think the whole gay thing that's just crazy. But that's, you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Now, Randy, did the abuse that you suffered, you think that contributed to some of the confusion that you went through growing up?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I was, but believe it or not, though, the very first person I was ever molested by I grew up in a Baptist church. The very first person I was ever molested by was a very important person in our Baptist church. And that was, I was only 12 years old at the time, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so that happens now in a church setting, people you're supposed to trust. What kind of effect did it have on you as a young man?
Well, when you're 12 years old, you don't know, you know, you have raging hormones, but you don't know what's going, you know, you don't know, you know, I didn't know what gay, you know, I grew up on a little dairy farm out in Pennsylvania. I mean, I never even heard of a homosexual or, you know. We milked cows for a living. I mean, really. So it had a lot of effect on me. And, it definitely screwed me up. You know, I was molested by the time I was 18. I could probably say I was molested by at least a dozen men,
oh.
Older men. Yeah.
That is absolutely horrible. So then, yeah. were you trying to follow God the whole time and feeling condemned?
Yeah, I tried to follow God. I was in church, and I was in our church choir, and I was, you know, I played the piano for our young people services, and I struggled in school because I was having a hard time, you know. Plus, I was kind of a nerdy artistic kind of kid. I wasn't a, you know, I didn't play football and stuff. I was one of those kids who sang in the choir and was head of the drama club and took home economics with the girls because I loved to cook and stuff like that. So that didn't help matters any because the kids used to harass the heck out of me because of stuff like that. And
all the stereotypical picture that we hear about so often, that the guy doesn't fit the normal macho guy's mold, so he gets blasted for that or called a sissy. Then you get abused by all these people. Thank God you're still here and you want to serve the Lord. So
I would tell my parents about these things too, and well, the guy from church, they just never believed me. And then when I told my dad about the Boy Scout leader, he said, "Oh, I've known that guy for 30 years. You know, you're just, you know, they're always telling me I was a liar and I was making up the story."
Oh, gosh. And Randy, by the way, how often do you listen to this radio broadcast?
Every day.
Yeah. Friends,
I'm on WMCA from 7 in the morning till about 6 o'clock at night.
All right. Remarkable. So, friends, it's being on the radio that allows us to talk to people like Randy and reach people like Randy. Randy, when you were actively involved in the homosexual community over a number of years, did you see a lot of death or broken relationships, or did it just seem like kind of normal life to you?
I myself probably went through, I guess if you consider anything over 5 years, then I think I had four of those. But if you consider anything 5 years or less, I probably had 25 or 30 relationships. So, they didn't last long. And, you know, because the guys where I were always after the next thing, somebody younger, or I don't know. I really don't know what they're after.
And what about, you know, sexually transmitted disease, death?
You know, we've already talked about that, and you know, I'm suffering the consequences. I have advanced HIV, and I'm dealing with that every day. Every day I wake up is a gift because they caught it pretty late in me, so I take a ton of medicine, but I have good days and bad days. Like the day I was there, the day I came to visit you, I was having a really bad day, but I was going to get there by hook or by crook. So I dragged myself into that radio studio that day just to see you.
Well, Randy, it made my day to see you and to get our picture together, which we posted for others to see. And friends, let's keep praying for Randy. It's not too late for healing and certainly God's grace in the midst of this. And I'm so glad that you called, and I'm so glad that we've been able to tell your story to more people. So
appreciate it if you could pray for my because I have an HIV virus that has gone to my eyes, and now I'm going blind. So it seems to be getting worse and worse. And
all right, that's no way to be living. We will absolutely pray for that with you, Randy, before we're off the air. And friends, keep praying for Randy. When we first interacted, what struck me was you said, look, you know what the Bible says is true, and you feel you've been given over to a reprobate mind, and there's no hope. And we encourage you that, of course, there is hope, and you can live without another man, you can live without sex, but you can't live without God. Did you really come to find that assurance of God's love that we talked about, Randy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, I tried to live on the fence for a while by going to, well, there's a big gay church. There's a couple gay churches in Manhattan, but I tried going to this gay church, and I went for maybe 6 or 7 months. I would never take communion there. I always felt like if I ever took communion there, God would drop a lightning bolt on my head or something. But it's just I just knew. The music was great, but.
Mm. Hey, Randy, stay right there. Since we're finally talking by phone over the air, let's take a few more minutes. Friends, this is some of the fruit of being on radio. Without that, we never would have connected to someone like Randy. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Boy, what a joy to be speaking with our friend Randy. He's openly shared how many times he was sexually abused as a boy and young man. The many different relationships he was in and out of in the homosexual community, the physical penalties paid in his body with advanced HIV, even the virus spreading to his eyes, causing blindness. We're praying, we're going to ask God before we get off the air with Randy that God would touch him and heal him and deliver him. And he shared how he attended a gay church for a while. The music was great, but he just knew something was wrong. Randy, I so appreciate your candor, and you have a whole lot of people praying for you. That's probably going to quadruple in number today.
But, great.
Yeah, and we're trusting God's goodness to flood your life, Randy.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, 38 years on Friday. Thank you so
awesome much.
Yeah, and I turned 59 on Sunday, so I'll
be 58 next month.
All right, good. Well, we'll pray for long life and health. So listen, Randy. Do you think that a lot of the other men and women that were in the gay church inwardly, no matter what they were doing outwardly, praising God or taking communion or holding hands during worship, do you think that many were actually struggling inwardly because they knew something wasn't right?
No, because I think they have finally have given into it.
Yeah.
They didn't act like they were struggling to me.
Got it. Yeah, I appreciate this. In other words, they resisted the conviction of the Spirit or convinced themselves that the Scriptures didn't really say things and therefore went on as if unaffected. Randy, what happened to you when we spoke on the air, I spoke to you on the air as you listened in your home on radio about God's love and about forgiveness and assured you that there was complete forgiveness for you in Jesus? What happened in your life after that?
I fell on my knees before and just prayed, and I said, I feel like I have somebody on my side now, meaning you. And I said to the Lord, I know we can get through this. I can't do this by myself. I know with your help I can get through this. And it's a day to day thing. Truthfully, I'm kind of sick, so I don't. Sexually, I really could care less about, you know, my mind doesn't really go there.
Right.
I'm just, I'm more concerned about just getting through each day. So.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. But I just take it day by day, and I have devotions to the Lord every day, and I pray. I probably pray 3 or 4 times a day, and I read the Bible. I listen to WMCA all day long. I try to, you know, I try not to, like, watch movie, you know, because everything on TV now is gay this, gay that, gay this, gay that. So I try to watch, you know, be careful of what I watch on television, and I just try, you know, I know God's watching me, so I, knowing that, I just try to do what He wants me to do. So
yeah, and Randy, he's watching you not to hurt you, but to help you as a loving father. And yes, we walk in the fear of the Lord for sure. That's big. And then we know that He wants to strengthen us. Randy, we're so glad that we could have a role in helping. And I say we, I mean the listening audience and those who read your story. And as you know, so many post-it notes and comments, how they were praying for you. And I was blessed to know how deeply that touched you. One last question for you, Randy, and then I want to pray with you. Tell my Christian listeners the best way that they can reach out to gay friends, neighbors, family members. I know we could go on for hours about this, but
just love them. Just love them and invite them. Invite them over to your home for dinner. Just show them. Just like I have two friends. Well, they just moved to Honduras now. They became missionaries, but they were also instrumental in helping me because God's love just oozed out of them. And I was always thinking, wow, I really want what they have. And I think if more gay people could see that, because a lot of people say they're Christians, and maybe they, you know, I'm sure that maybe they are, but you don't see the love. You just don't feel the love.
Right. You don't see it, the genuine nature of Jesus in them. Absolutely.
No.
Well, Randy, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for your openness, and thanks for allowing us to be part of your life. We're going to pray with you right now, all right? And then after the show, you'll get an email from Matt, maybe waiting for you. So you just respond with a yes, and so that we can tell your story as part of our book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And this way, you'll minister to a whole lot of people. And with all the pain you've been through and the struggles and the abuse you've suffered, God can turn that around, and suddenly you become a voice of hope, and you become a voice of life, and you become a voice of salvation to many. And I say that from my heart with tears in my eyes, buddy. So, Father, we pray for Randy, our friend, our brother, that we'll spend eternity with. We ask you to touch him. Lord, he's reaped what he's sown, but all of us have sown in sin, and in many cases you've been merciful to us, and you've delivered us from the fruit of that. So we're asking you to reverse the course of this disease in his body, to deliver him, Lord, to heal him of this incipient blindness, to stop this virus from spreading and to turn it back, that he can glorify you. And we're asking you to be with him in a deeper way. You, may he experience you. May he walk with you. May you be so near to him that it'll be closer than a mother or a father or a brother or sister or a best friend. Bless Randy, and may his testimony touch many in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, God bless you, Randy. Look forward to being in touch, and thank you for this amazing call today.
And if anybody ever wants, I don't know what church, you know, I go to church in Manhattan. Right now I've been going to Calvary Baptist and Times Square Church, but I haven't really met any friends. So if anybody goes to either one of those churches, or they want to invite me to one of their churches, in Manhattan, I would love, you know, I'd be happy to go. So,
all right. We'll have to figure out how to put folks in touch with you, Randy. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. And you're going to find churches there, Calvary Baptist and Times Square Church. Friends, you can't orchestrate that. You can't plan that out. And that call just increases the pain in my heart, because the announcement I made earlier that in a number of our key stations in America, we've simply not gotten listener support to be on the air, and we're unable to stretch ourselves any further to make that happen. I'll be announcing via email on Thursday which stations will be going off in 13 days and any stations where we'll be cutting back from 1 hour to half hour. We'll also tell you how you can listen online, how you can subscribe by free podcast, and you can listen on your cell phone even while you're driving in your car. But we know there are many like Randy that we won't be able to touch as we cut back. So stand with us today, friends. And as we go through this pruning, we're trusting in the days to come that we will expand beyond anything we've ever done. Go to my website right now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate to become a monthly supporter. We'll send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America as we do. Revolution? Real revolution? Real social cultural upheaval through the gospel? Are you serious? You better believe I'm serious. So what's it gonna take?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. You know, Joey, you're right. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I didn't do a bottom line in my last hour. Wow, wow. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Somehow, a couple weeks ago or a week ago, when I went to do a bottom line at the half-hour mark instead of the hour, I told myself that that's the time that it was. So my listeners around America now are jarred. Their day will not go right. They won't know how to function properly. They will feel a sense of not being complete, a lack of conclusion, because I didn't share the bottom line at the end of the last hour. Well, we'll do it. But yeah, the world does not spin on the same axis exactly, Joey. We'll somehow have to get people back to spiritual equilibrium. But to those just tuning in now, welcome to the Line of Fire. Wow. I just got off the phone, almost a half hour on the phone, an amazing conversation. And Matt, we'll grab that too. We'll make that a special YouTube video. In fact, Matt, the picture that we took at American Bible Society of Randy and me, that's what we'll put up there. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to inspire you today. I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you today. And later in the broadcast, I have a very, very important announcement to make. If you're unable to hear it, then later today, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And when you get there, just click on latest video. And we'll have this special announcement up along with another video later today when we're able to get to it. Could be tomorrow, with the amazing interview with Randy, a gentleman who was abused, just told us on the air, first in a church setting, then many times in Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, about a dozen times as he was growing up, actively engaged in the homosexual lifestyle for years, all while believing in God and struggling in the midst of it. Now, seriously, we're praying for healing, but seriously ill with HIV, and watched friends die over the years of sexually transmitted diseases. Felt he was condemned and there was no hope, and we were able to reach out to him on the air last year, and he was transformed by the love of God, found that place of assurance. What an amazing conversation we just had. And it underscores the importance of the announcement that I'm going to make later today about our radio broadcast in some of the cities where we are right now. But the theme of revolution, Jesus changing us, and we go and change the world. A Christian leader in Zambia, Nevers Mumba, said this over a decade ago: "I believe we have come to the place where the thinking of Christians," he was addressing charismatic Christians in particular, "but I believe," he said, "I believe we have come to a place where the thinking of Christians must change, and it must change now, or the church will become a little cult in the corner. I'm not interested in following a religion that does not impact the world in which we live. Jesus was a rebel, and he called us to join this rebel movement and change the world together." Now, on the one hand, Jesus perfectly submitted to the authority of the Father, and we are to submit to the authority of the Father. But submitting to the authority of the Father means going against the grain of this sinful world. And that's what we are called to do. I want to stir your heart to be a world changer today. Say, world changer? I don't even read the Bible. World changer? I sin with internet porn every week. You're just the candidate God's looking for. He takes the weak and foolish things of the world to change the world.
The Line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And I've just been told, got to turn up the mic volume on my side of things. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And let me give you a scenario. We're talking about revolution. We're talking about radical change. Let me give you a scenario. It's a very, very special day. Maybe it's your anniversary, you and your spouse. Maybe it's a special birthday for one of your kids. You know, they're turning, your daughter's turning 16, and some of her friends are going to come out. You're going to a really nice restaurant, and the girls have gotten all dressed up, and it's a fancy once-in-a-year kind of thing. Or you've got some special friends in from out of town, and you said, hey, I've always wanted you to take you to this restaurant. You know, it's special, it's expensive, and you bring them over there, and everybody's dressed up. You've got to dress up to go there. And you have your meal, and then partway through the meal, they said, hey, listen, we need your help in the back. The toilets have been overflowing, and we need you back there to help clean. And some of you have to go in the basement, and it's kind of grungy down there. And others, you can work right in the bathroom. And you look at them and say, excuse me, we're here for a meal. We're not workers here. You see the clothes we're in? See where we're sitting at the table? We're here for a nice meal at a fancy restaurant. We're not here to go clean the toilets or go in the basement and clean up your mess. Well, obviously, that's not why you're going there. Ah, you say, what's that got to do with anything? Really, really simple. It's really simple. That's how it is. A lot of us in church, we just want to go and have a nice meal. We just want to go and hear a nice sermon. We just want to go and be entertained by the youth team or the worship team or kids cared for in the nursery or the children's church, and everybody have a good time and make sure you get a good parking spot, make sure they don't keep you too long and so on, and sure they don't talk about money much and never make you feel uncomfortable. And then one day the pastor says, okay, we are raising up missionaries to send to the Muslim world. We know it's very dangerous there. We're raising up missionaries to send into some militant Hindu cities, and you'll probably die as you go when you preach there. How many volunteers do we have? I would imagine you have about as many volunteers as you have with folks going to clean the toilet at the restaurant they were going to. Because that's not the message they've heard. That's not the mindset they've had. That's not what they've been in the midst of. They've been in the midst of this lovely feel-good Christianity. They've been in the midst of this what's in it for me gospel. They've been in the midst of, or maybe you've been in the midst of, and you've heard that. It's all about me. Jesus died to make me into a bigger and better me. Jesus died so I can have a nice life. Well, you said, didn't he promise abundant life? Abundant life didn't necessarily mean being rich. Plenty of rich people are poor in spirit. Plenty of rich people are miserable. Plenty of rich people have anything but an abundant life. Jesus said in Luke 12, take heed, beware of covetousness, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not how you measure life. That's not how you measure abundant life, by possessions. What's the quality of life we have in God? And often those with the most abundant life are those who are financially not well off, and they're persecuted for the faith, and they're suffering for the gospel, but they are thriving in Jesus. Well, we sit here in the midst of our American lifestyles, and many of us, compared to much of the world, live like kings and queens. And you know, our big issue is whether to upgrade to the new iPhone or, you know, which operating system to have on our new tablet. I mean, for many, those are, I'm not trivializing financial problems, but in many, many cases, the financial problems are just due to the way we live. A nation $16 trillion in debt, mind-boggling beyond anything we have the capacity to understand, unless we are economic experts, in which case you don't want to understand $16 trillion in debt. We think that Jesus just comes to satisfy our desires. No, Jesus, being who he is, the glorious Son of God, the one to whom knowing him and following him is life itself. The very author of life, the author and finisher of our faith, the perfect one who lays down his life for us and who offers us intimate fellowship with God and forgiveness of sins. When he says, follow me, he doesn't need to cut some deal. Well, we have a special today. If you follow me, you only have to give up half of your sins. Well, if you sign up today, if you'll become a follower of Jesus today, you'll also get a free iPad. Oh, and in addition to that, you will also get eternal life. No matter what you do, no matter how you live, you can walk away from God after this, but just sign up now. No, that's not the gospel. Well, it's the contemporary American gospel in exaggerated form, but that is not the gospel. The gospel is, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Why? Because following Jesus is not earning your salvation, it's just following him. For example, after this broadcast today, I scheduled to go to the airport and get on a plane and go to Dallas, Texas. That's right. Go to Dallas, Texas. And when I fly there, that's where the plane will take me. Following Jesus takes you somewhere. It takes you from an old life to a new life. It takes you from serving self to serving God. It takes you from serving the flesh to saying no to the flesh. It takes you from loving yourself first to loving your neighbor first. It takes you from hardness to holiness. It takes you from compromise to compassion, and on it goes. This radical change that comes with following Jesus. Listen, I'm not presenting myself as some super saint, all right? I simply understand that Jesus has the rights to my life. I simply understand that he's my Lord. And if he's my Lord, then I'm here to do his will. Here, let's do some word association. If he is my Father, I am his Son. If he is the shepherd, I am the sheep. Oh, yeah, that's a sweet one. If he is a man of war and general, I'm a soldier in his army. Oh, no, not the physically fighting people as a soldier, but spiritually speaking. If he is my master, I am his servant. If he's Lord, then I'm here to obey him and do his will. Colossians 3, speaking to believers, you died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. 1 Peter 4, the past time of our life, that's enough to serve the flesh. Now we've died to that. We live to do the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. 2 Corinthians 5, that we understand that since Christ died for all, therefore all died, and therefore we who live no longer live for ourselves. We no longer live for ourselves. Shall I say it again? We no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose from the dead. We're here to do his will. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. It's not salvation by works. It's salvation. It's new life. It's a new life, excuse me, of obedience to the commands of God. There wasn't a smile there. That was just trying to overcome a tickle in my throat and a cough. That's the gospel, friends. New life in Jesus. So as I said, I'm not some super saint. I'm not saying that I'm the finest example of following Jesus. I am the man. By God's grace, I'm growing. I continue to grow as a leader and as a servant. I continue to grow in the Lord. But I understand it's not my life. I understand I don't call the shots. I understand it's not up to me to decide what my destiny in this life is going to be. I understand it's, aside from, you know, taking proper care of myself and that kind of thing and not being foolish, I don't determine the length of my life. If it's God's will that I preach the gospel today and lay down my life for it, so be it. If, you know, so when we started standing up for controversial issues years ago and started getting hated and maligned and uglier speech coming towards us, I remember one attorney said to me, Mike, have you considered what may happen? Have you considered that as you stand up for these issues that there could be physical attack? I said, I don't follow you. He said, I mean, you could be attacked. You could be physically attacked. I said, I don't follow. He said, well, Mike, have you considered that? I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, we crossed that line when I got saved. It's not my life. We follow Jesus by life or by death. We live to do his will. What does Paul say in Philippians 1:21? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We know those words. But what did he mean? It wasn't just a word of comfort to someone suffering. And I'm glad for someone to have comfort in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their pain. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not primarily what he was talking about. This is what he's saying, Philippians 1:20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what he was saying. That's the normal gospel. And it starts with you and me. It starts with you and me coming to the recognition that our life is not our own, that we belong to him, that we've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20, therefore we must glorify God in our body. Friends, a little later in the show, very, very important radio announcement that I'll be making that will directly affect many of you listening to this broadcast. Remember to go to my website and download the free 16-lecture audio series. It's only this month on revival. It's yours to keep. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. Free offer. Take advantage of it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about Jesus' revolution, talking about starting with each of us individually. I've told this story before, but let me tell it again. Oh, probably 15 years ago, Nancy noticed that I'd put on a little weight. And to be candid with you, I was running really hard. I was in the midst of ministry, in the midst of revival, 80 to 100 hours a week. It was an extraordinary season. I would sometimes only eat one meal, and it'd be later in the day, sometimes late at night, and it was an unhealthy meal. So, and I was exercising less, so yeah, I'd put a little weight on. And her first concern is just health. And then second concern is just being a good witness. But, you know, health above all. So she said, hey, hon, I think you put a little weight on. And I had weighed myself, and I had. I said, yeah, I have. I said, but I have a plan. She said, oh, okay, good. Maybe 6 months goes by. And she said, you know, hon, I don't think you lost any weight. I said, no, actually, I haven't. But I have a plan. She goes, oh, okay, good. And could be a year goes by. She said, you know, hon, I think you actually put on a little more weight. And I said, I have, but I have a plan. And she said to me, your plan is not working. Now, by the way, that's our relationship, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and that's the way we communicate. But she said to me, your plan is not working. Some of us need to look in the mirror, pastors, church leaders, parents, individual believers, singles, married couples, young people. You need to look in the mirror and say, okay, my plan is not working because I keep talking about how I'm going to change. I keep talking about when I'm really going to go for it. I grew up as a boy in New York City, and right before my 7th birthday, we moved to Long Island, and then I grew up on Long Island and lived there, met Nancy there. Then we moved when we were in our early 30s with our family. But my earliest years were spent in New York City, which meant there were a lot of street games that we played. There were a lot of New York games that we played because you didn't have ball fields and you didn't have other options like that. You'd play games with a ball off the stoop, the stairs in front of your apartment building or other things like that. And there was a jump rope game where you just have two people holding the rope and then someone would get in the middle and jump and they'd move it faster and faster and faster. And I remember some of these little girls in particular, they're really good. My sister was 3.5 years older than me, is 3.5 years older than me, and she used to be good at it, and I could just never get the rhythm. And then you'd switch who holds the rope, and different ones come in, and I couldn't get the rhythm. I mean, I'd go in, and boom, the thing would hit me in the feet. I'd go back in, boom, and the thing would hit me in the feet. I mean, couldn't even get it around once. I'd jump at the wrong time. So I watched my sister, I watched these other girls. A couple of them were really, really good, some of the other kids, and they would just start to lean. They'd rock back and forth. They'd rock, and then they'd jump in there, and then they'd be good, and they'd get going really fast, and they'd be good. So when it was my turn to go, I start to rock, get the motion as I'm sitting here in my chair rocking, talking about it, and then I let someone else go, because I just didn't quite have it. Let someone else go. Let somebody else go, and then I'd never get in. it strikes me that that's how some of us have lived for years. I mean, we're just trying, we'll get this in order. We'll kind of get out of debt and get my head. Well, you know, right now there's an issue with the kids. Well, I'm switching job. Well, when we get settled in this new place, well, you're just moving to a new church. Well, there's always something. There will always be something. There will never be the perfect free day. There will never be the day when everything is just clear and free and there are no responsibilities and no issues. You know what that day is? That's the day that we've left this world. That's the day that we have left this world and it is all over. But as long as we're in this world, there are going to be trials, there are going to be difficulties, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be ups, there are going to be downs, there are going to be hard times, there are going to be good times, there are going to be super busy days and not as busy days. There's always going to be a devil. There is always going to be a devil who opposes us, who hates us, who wants to stop us from making spiritual progress. There's always going to be the flesh that you have to deal with. There's only going to be the world that you have to deal with. The world is not suddenly going to become wonderful and godly and beautiful. The flesh is still the flesh, and on and on and on it goes. Which means what? It means that today is the day to live differently. It means there's not going to be some mystical time. The only thing that's going to be different about tomorrow is that today's habits will be more deeply ingrained. Yeah, I think that's quotable. In fact, we'll write that down and get it out as a quote. The only thing different about tomorrow is that today's habits will be more deeply ingrained. So today's the day to bring about change. You've been thinking about making a change in your life and you feel it's the will of God. Today's the day to do it. You know what's right, picking up the word to read the word rather than wasting your time on some other books, turning off the TV or getting away from the computer and seeking God. Putting the phone down and saying the texts will wait, but I've got to get with God. Sharing the gospel with that neighbor you've been thinking about sharing the gospel with. Turning away from that sin that you know is displeasing in God's sight. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Take the step in the right direction and God will help you take the next step. In fact, he will empower you supernaturally. And for some of you, yes, you've been thinking about supporting us and standing with us. Today's the day. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. No, everything I said was not just a setup for a financial appeal, but I'm not going to leave finances out of it. If that's what God's been challenging you to do or speaking to you to do or you've been wanting to do, in fact, you'll understand the importance of that in a few minutes when I make a very, very major announcement in the next half hour. No hype. It's major. It's big. It's very important. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I haven't asked a question for you to respond to, but just in case you want a voice on the air and you want to weigh in, go ahead and do it. But I'm really not trying to take a lot of calls right now because I want to share these things with you. Those of you that want to become monthly supporters, this week only, we're sending you a free copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage. It's over $30 value, 700-page hardcover. Just talking to a Christian leader today, and he said, I've been underlining passages in it to meet with another major Christian leader to help brief him on how to respond to things. We need your help. From my trip to Peru last night, we gave out free copies of the book. You say, who paid for those? Well, we did. We need your help. We got those to congressional leaders and university chancellors in Peru. So stand with us today, and we'll send you this as our thank you gift. And every month as a torchbearer, we will send you a new audio message from me that will stir your hearts. You'll get a 15% discount in our online bookstore, and we've got tons of resources and free access to our online classes, which people pay $50 or $75 per class to take online. You'll have free access as long as you want to, as often as you want to. And best of all, you'll share in the reward with us. When we come back with reports about what God has done and what he's doing, you will be part of that. Think of it. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or if it's easier for you, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. Become a monthly torchbearer today. Together, we are really making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what I am doing right now? During the break, I am interacting via Twitter with a woman who says she is a lesbian Christian in Peru. She watched my address to Congress, which was aired on national TV there, and she is claiming that we are the ones who are suppressing freedoms, and we are the ones who are hurting our children and grandchildren. I'm telling her, no, when you try to redefine marriage and when you tamper with the foundations of society, then that is ultimately what's going to hurt the coming generations. Friends, we're on the front lines. By God's grace, we're on the front lines. 866-34-TRUTH. Can I boast in the Lord? Can I boast in the Lord? God saved me in 1971 as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, diesel-gas-huffing, lost, rebellious, proud, angry, wicked, 16-year-old Jewish rock drummer. And any good that has come out of that life is to the glory of God and to the credit of God. Any good that's come out of me, anything I've been able to do to touch others, has been by the grace and goodness of God. Those who are touched by this radio broadcast, those who are touched by the articles we write and the books we've written, those who've been touched by the debates that are posted on YouTube, and those who've been touched in our ministry school and who are out as world changers around the world. Any good that's come out of my life is to the glory of God and by His grace. That's why I tell you my background. That's why I tell you the cesspool that He took me out of. That's why I tell you about the ugliness of my life before He saved me. The good news is that's all He has to work with. The good news is that He only has people like you and me to work with. Oh, maybe you never shot heroin. Maybe you never doing the junk I was doing. But in point of fact, every one of us without Jesus are lost. Every one of us without Jesus are children of rebellion. Every one of us without the Lord are guilty as sin. But this is who He has to work with. Not the mighty and the great and the powerful, but weak human beings. He didn't send angels into the world to change the world. He sent His Son into the world in human form. And that through the human race, now redeemed, renewed in Jesus, those of us who've come to know Him, through us, the gospel can go out to change others. Who did Jesus choose on His side? I mean, He chose a whole bunch of unlikely candidates, did He not? He chose, yeah, great quote from David Wilkerson, God uses people. God uses people to perform His work. He does not send angels. Angels weep over it, but God does not use angels to accomplish His purposes. He uses burdened, broken-hearted, weeping men and women. Someone who says, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, use my life to make a difference. As a mom, as a dad, as a kid, as a business person, as an older person, here I am. If it's His power working through us, 1 Corinthians 1, He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the strong, the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are wise, so that no flesh should glory in His presence. So when there's boasting, there's only boasting done in the Lord. That being the case, friends, then every one of us should say, Lord, here I am, use me. Every one of us should realize if we'll look to Him and submit ourselves to Him, we are not disqualified. In fact, what qualifies us is Jesus. What qualifies us is His blood and His Spirit working in us and through us. Why not make a fresh dedication of your life to the Lord? Why not make a fresh dedication today and say, Lord, enough has happened in our society. Enough has gone on in the world. Things I never dreamed to see. I'm seeing in my life, as David Jeremiah wrote in one of his recent books, never thought I'd see the day. Well, here we are. But God's not perplexed, because God has a people through whom He can work. And that people through you and me. All right, we come back. Major announcement that will affect many of you listening. So don't miss it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, a very, very important announcement I am about to make to you, our dear listeners. This is no exaggeration. Everything I'm about to tell you is just as it is. 866-34-TRUTH, just to give the number out in case you want to join in at a certain point of the conversation. I may take some calls later, but not right now. When God called me to go on the radio, the calling was growing in my heart over a number of years, but no 2 days in my life were ever the same. In other words, I might be traveling extensively, preaching day and night in different countries of the world. I might be lecturing all day in the States, or I might be preparing for debate. I might be writing all day. I might be pouring into students in our ministry school. Every day different than the day before. And the idea of having something every day where you had to do the same thing and be in the same place or have certain time free, etc., was virtually unthinkable. But I used to turn on talk radio, and I knew God was calling me to do it. I would turn it on and I'd say to myself, so how how do these folks do, how do you schedule your life to have 2 hours or 3 hours every day where things revolve around it? What do you have to do to, and I'd wonder about it. So it was 6 years ago, in fact, the very first Saturday show that I did, because all I could figure out was 1 hour, 1 day a week. And even then, I had to pre-record a bunch of the shows because of travel. But the very first show I did was March 1st of 2008. And some of you listening today were listening. You were listening because we were on some of these stations for over 6 years now. And I remember I did the first show and I thought, I got to wait a week. I've got to wait a whole week to do it again. I began to hear from people, Mike, Dr. Brown, you were born to do this. I knew it. Now, bear in mind, my schedule is already super full. I'm a visiting professor at four different seminaries, for example. I have our ministry school here pour into our students on a weekly basis. I travel and preach around the world. I'm constantly writing, constantly in the midst of book writing projects, and now constant writing of articles, two or three new articles a week, and other responsibilities. So, and Jewish ministry, major focus constantly, raising up disciples for the nations, going to the nations. I could take any one of these things and give my life to it, and I wouldn't have a dull moment until I went home to be with the Lord. I mean that without exaggeration. But I knew that radio was a calling. I got asked to switch to 5 days a week. It's going to be nighttime starting June 30th of 2008. Nighttime? How are you going to do it at night? That affects everything. But I felt it was the Lord. Nancy, my wife, felt it was the Lord. My bride now of 38 years. So I made the change. Then we started to go to 2 hours. And March 14th, 2011, we launched on some of these very stations on the Salem Radio Network. We expanded. We started on the Truth Radio Network, where we are every single day. We expanded to the Salem Radio Network along with that. And we're on some other networks as well, American Family Radio, about 250 stations on Sunday afternoons. By God's grace, we're on probably around 300 stations around the nation. But when we did our big national expansion to some of the biggest cities of America, we stretched ourselves out every way we knew how, because we knew it takes a few years before there's adequate listener support to pay for the stations. We knew that. We understood that. We contacted every friend we had and said, listen, we're going on the air. We're going to have these big bills. Can you help us? And here and there, we got some help. But for the most part, we don't have a lot of rich friends to ask. But the money was not going in my pocket. The money was not going in our staff's pocket. It was all going to go right back out for radio. To this day, about 80% of our budget goes right back out the door immediately into more ministry. Only about 20% pay salaries. You check other ministries. Listen, I've had people on my show as guests, and they work with other ministries, and their salary alone is more than mine plus our entire staff combined. I'm serious. So we stretched every way we knew how. we borrowed from Peter to pay Paul. I'd go out and preach, and you know, offerings would be received, and where would those offerings go? Right to pay our radio bill. Well, you see, the radio is supposed to be paid for by you, our listeners. Listener supported. That's who we are. But we didn't have adequate listener support, so we do whatever we could. I'd get funds in through book sales, and instead of putting them away towards the... Yeah, I know, Matt, it's stealing from Peter to pay Paul, but we didn't steal. I'm sharp enough to process that and change it. I would literally say, okay, we've got money that I'm putting aside to reprint a book when we're going to need to do it, but we got to pay a radio bill. I'm going to take it out of there and do it. I'd have personal money that was due me. All right, I won't take it now. Let's put it aside to pay radio bills. That's how we have lived day and night now for years, and waiting for more support to come in different cities from your listeners. But in quite a few cities, it has not. So, effective March 31st, we will be going off the air on a number of key stations, about 10 stations right now that are listening to me. Now, I'm going to put it out in an email announcement on Thursday, all right? I'm going to be putting it out on an email announcement on Thursday. By the way, Matt, although my wonderful atomic self-setting clock has the date right. It doesn't even have the date right. It's got the wrong. It says it's Monday. I've been looking at this thing thinking, what in the world? Do I not even know the date properly? I was sure it was two. It's got, this is Monday, March 18th. What a brilliant clock. To the second. It's to the second. So I have the exact time for radio. And it's got March 18th, Monday. It's got, means it must have the wrong year. Anyway, on Thursday, we're going to send out an e-blast to all of you. So if you get my emails, you'll get this. So if you don't get them, go to my website right now. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. We'll tell you what stations we have to go off. One major station we've got to cut back from an hour to a half hour daily. Others we have to go off entirely because we are unable to pay the bills that our listeners should be paying. Now, for those of you who are torchbearers and supporters in each city, fear not. We are continuing on with several hundred stations across America. And every one of you listening, you still don't have to miss a beat. Just listen on intranet. You say, I always listen in my car. Well, you can get an app on your cell phone, and you can listen on your cell phone and catch two whole hours if you like. You can subscribe for free by podcast and catch the broadcast later in the day. So all of you are listening. You'll be able to continue listening through other means, but I've got to tell you, there are a lot of people we reach just through radio. These are fine radio stations, and they'd love to have me on, but they have to be paid. They have a great staff. They have expenses in putting the broadcast out, the signal out. So they have to be paid. We have to pay them, and we have really fallen behind in so many ways trying to maintain this. And we prayed, and we fasted. We sought the Lord over a three-week period. And the result after 3 weeks of praying and fasting and seeking God was we must prune. Now, here's the good news. Pruning is painful. Yes, say that out loud with me. Pruning is painful. But as Heidi Baker wrote regarding John 15 and divine pruning, I have found out that one of the ways to cultivate the vineyard is to invite him to prune me. She said, if we do not understand his heart, passages such as John 15, 1 and 2, might cause us to imagine God as mean. The God who holds a machete or pruning knife may not sound very cuddly, but the truth is that he is eternally gracious. He may chop and burn pieces of us, but when he does this, he will hold you in his arms and let you know that he loves you. I'm going to come back to this issue of pruning in a moment. But friends, we have simply not heard from enough of you in some of the cities where we are. We've said for years we're not going to use cheap fundraising tactics. We try to offer quality resources at quality prices each week. We often give things away or tell folks they're yours for a gift of any size. So God knows our hearts and our integrity in that and the way we conduct ourselves. Maybe you have a large gift. Maybe you've just inherited money. You've been praying about where to sow it, and you've got $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 to sow. You'll never find a more worthy place to sow it. If you're talking about a media ministry, you'll not find a more worthy place to sow it than our ministry. You want to find out details? Contact us through our website, askdrbrown.org. And perhaps you have a burden to help us stay on in your city. Maybe one person can do it. But this is what's going to be happening come March 31st. We will be announcing right at the end of the month on the air which stations are concerned. But right now, we just want you to know that we will be pruning back. Our goal is to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. Our goal is to expand. And we have seen more expansion, even in the last 6 months, on every front except financially, than we've ever seen. So we're going to be frugal. We're going to be wise. We're going to work with these fine stations and prune back. And as the Lord opens the door again, we hope to be on many, many, many more stations than ever before. To stand with us, to help us with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click on donate.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, Jesus said it, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and his Father is the gardener. So he's the one that tends this vineyard, and he's the one that Jesus says prunes back every tree that bears fruit so that it may bear much more fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes so it may bear more fruit. Pruning is painful. Pruning means cutting back in areas where you didn't want to cut back. Now, I'm not a gardener. Nancy has always been into plants and gardening, and you know, just on the road, she'll be able to identify every plant, every tree. And after decades, I still don't get them right. And she's loved to garden for years and does a beautiful, beautiful job. Where we used to live in Maryland from 87 to 96, neighbors used to come by and ask if they could take the friends that were visiting on a tour of our backyard. It wasn't some massive backyard. We had maybe a third of an acre with a house on it. But she just did this amazing, amazing job. I remember, in fact, I came home from a trip, I think I was in Finland, and she had learned how to put a little pond in the backyard. And you know, she dug the thing out herself, and then she met with people and found out how to get the water flowing, whatever needed to be done, and it was just amazing. I mean, it was in how to, you know, put layers of things that had to be put in, and so that's who she's always been. Well, the first house that we owned many, many years ago on Long Island in a small town called Inwood. The former owner was an Italian gentleman, he and his wife, and he used to love to garden himself, and he had these beautiful rose bushes that stood around the fence, around the yard, next to the fence, and Nancy loved those rose bushes. I came home one day, and to my shock, somebody had mauled them. Some vandal, I mean, some kid or something, I don't know. They were mauled. They were nothing. Stumps almost, it seemed. And I was wondering, had she gone outside yet? Has she seen it? I didn't want to be the one to break the news to her about the rose bushes. And I came in, honey, did you see the rose bushes? And she said, oh yeah, the gardener came, pruned them. Said, what? That's what pruning looks like? We're about to do some pruning here in our ministry. It's divine pruning. We have to cut back on some of the major stations where we are on right now around America. And you have to understand, friends, that let me say this plainly. That means that many of the people I want to reach and touch, I won't be able to. That's painful. You see, there has not been adequate listener support in many cities, and we've just figured out ways to support the radio because we want to reach people. This is not going to lose us money getting off stage. It's going to save us money by getting off stations. In fact, we have no choice but to do it. So it's never been about income for us. We're not on the radio for income. If God gave us extra money through radio, we'd put it into more radio stations, or we'd support more missionaries overseas, or we'd develop our TV program more. That's where we go. That's our only goal. That's our only goal, is to touch more people and to spark revival in the church and revolution in society through the gospel, and to touch the nations and to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what we live for day and night. Pruning's painful. It's going to hurt. Oh, yeah, we'll still be on several hundred stations. And, yes, you can listen to us on the Internet, like always, and by podcast and archive show. But that hurts. We had an extraordinary call the last half hour of the first hour, one of the most memorable calls in the history of our radio broadcast. A man named Randy, in the natural dying of HIV and HIV virus and other issues, direct result of the homosexual lifestyle he lived for years, but now at peace with God and knowing that he's forgiven and living a life that pleases the Lord as a direct result of the radio broadcast. We may never have touched Randy or reached him without being on the radio. He wouldn't have discovered us online because he listens to the radio day and night, because that's basically his friend. So pruning is painful, but pruning will bring forth much more fruit. Heidi Baker, in her book, Birthing the Miraculous, writes, "The relentless drivenness in my personality did not leave me after my encounter in this one city, spiritual encounter, but I found out it was one of many things that had to change. This was a hard process. I felt so ready to take on the world. I thought, let's take on India, Congo, and Sudan. Yes. I was saying yes all the time, no matter what. Yes, go. But God had to chop. He told me he was going to cut away. He was going to burn, and he was going to prune the things in my life that needed to go." And what happened? Well, before the pruning in her life, she and her husband had been missionaries for years and serving for years, and they had basically, as a result, won relatively unstable church in Mozambique and a couple of relatively unstable churches in a couple other areas, and that was it. Now they have something like 10,000 churches in Mozambique. They went from 1 to 3,000, can hardly even explain how it happened. Friends, we've been seeing expansion. Here, the simplest example I can give you is I wrote an article about double standards on Facebook last October, and when I wrote that article about double standards on Facebook, I happen to note that we reached on average about 40,000 people per week through my Facebook page. Now we've been up to reaching 2.2 million. That's an increase of 50 times. Can you understand the dimensions of that? In just 6 months, boom, we're seeing it happen all over ministry. We have not seen the finances come in to support some of the aspects of that. So it's a time for divine pruning, divine cutting back, so that by God's grace, as the doors open up again on different stations, we will be blanketing America with this broadcast, if it is the will of God. Right now, we're rejoicing in the impact we're making and inviting you to partner with us, inviting you to help us stay on the stations we're on and expand unto more after our time of pruning. We're inviting you to join us as we go to the nations. We're inviting you to join us as we bring about change around the world by God's grace. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Again, 1-800-278-9978. Or go online to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate. Friends, partner with us. Become a monthly torchbearer. Put aside a dollar a day, $30 a month, and you will be helping us. Every step I take, you'll be taking with me. Every life we touch, you'll be touching with me. And the reward that I get when we stand before the Lord that day, you get to share in that. And when I tell a story on radio, you're thinking, yeah, I'm part of that. I'm part of that. I'm part of your trip to Peru. I'm part of your trip to Dallas. I'm part of your debate with a rabbi. I'm part of that. And I want to send you as my thank you gift a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700-page hardcover, must reading. You'll understand the moment you start the preface, must reading. It will help you understand the critical issues we're facing today. That's my thank you gift when you become a torchbearer today. And then we'll minister to you every month, send you a new audio message, as well as give you 15% discount in our online bookstore and free access to our online classes. And with that, it is time for my bottom line. The only difference between today and tomorrow is that today's habits will be more deeply ingrained tomorrow. Make the right choice today. You'll be glad tomorrow.